Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, August 28th, 2025. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. ICE or people who look just like them run checkpoint on active firefighters on the Bear Gulch fire in the rainforest on the Olympic Peninsula. Two people are taken away. Summer surge in COVID cases in Seattle. Washington Lands Commissioner Dave Up the Grove sets aside 77,000 acres of state land for conservation. And U.S. Senator Patty Murray of Washington calls for the immediate firing of RFK Jr. for his firing of the Centers for Disease Control head. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And you're tuned to KRFP Moscow Pullman and live on KRFP from Moscow, Idaho. This is the KRFP Evening Report. Seattle area hospitals are reporting a late summer surge in COVID cases in King County, including increased emergency room visits, hospitalizations, and positive tests. Wastewater sampling also points to an increase in cases. The Public Health Department for Seattle and King County reports 290 emergency room visits during the week of August 10th due to COVID. That's 290 visits. The Washington Health Department reports 1.4% of hospital emergency room visits in early August statewide were due to COVID, up from 0.5% in June. The late summer surge in COVID cases in the Puget Sound area appears to be smaller than last year's late summer surge, but the pandemic is not over and continues to kill. The State Health Department reports between the beginning of the respiratory disease season last October and early August, 475 people died of COVID in Washington. Between October 2023 and August 2024, 1,100 Washington residents died of COVID. Centers for Disease Control forecast modeling shows COVID infections are rising in most states, but the wave is smaller than in previous years. Public Health Seattle and King County Communicable Disease Epidemiology and Immunization Chief Dr. Eric Chow indicated he was encouraged by the smaller surge this year. Chow said, "This is promising. It's a reminder why immunity is so important, thanks to a highly effective and safe vaccine, and also the fact that some people have had previous infection. This is probably why severe disease burden has decreased over time. There is a portion of our population where COVID-19 health threats are still very real. That would include immunocompromised people and children too young to be vaccinated." Chow said the most dramatic increase in COVID emergency room cases in King County recently is in children under 4 years old. He said children can experience severe COVID symptoms, especially if they are not old enough to be vaccinated. Meanwhile, people are facing a more complicated vaccination booster regime this year. Trump Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has fired his vaccination advisory committees and replaced them with vaccine skeptics. RFK Jr. has indicated vaccines will not be available to those who are not elderly or do not have underlying health conditions that put them more at risk this year. Even though COVID is usually spread by asymptomatic people, and widespread vaccination has been credited with saving millions of lives from the pandemic. Democratic U.S. Senator Patty Murray of Washington has called for the immediate firing of Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. after the Trump White House fired Centers for Disease Control Director Susan Munarez yesterday. The firing of Munarez comes as Kennedy is overseeing major policy changes to vaccine advisory structures and funding. It marks a major rupture between scientific leadership at the Centers for Disease Control and political control from the Health and Human Services Department. Munarez has been on the job for less than a month. Senator Murray wrote on her website, "I had serious doubts about Director Manares' willingness to stand up against RFK Jr.'s personal mission to destroy public health in America. I'm glad to say that I was wrong. Susan Manares' willingness to stand up for science and protect the integrity of the CDC is commendable and deeply important. However, it only further underscores the reality that HHS Director Manares is not the problem. RFK Jr. is. If there are any adults left in the White House, it's well past time they face reality and fire RFK Jr. He is a dangerous man who is determined to abuse his authority to act on truly terrifying conspiracy theories and disinformation, leaving us unprepared for the next deadly pandemic and snuffing out potential cures while he's at it. He has already taken utterly reckless steps to dismantle our public health infrastructure, and he has even undermined President Trump's own legacy of helping establish access to life-saving vaccines through groundbreaking mRNA research. Further, we should all be deeply disturbed by the resignation of highly qualified CDC officials whose work quite literally saves lives. It will be an extremely frightening world if the CDC is hollowed out and its ranks filled only by conspiracy theorists that RFK Jr. agrees with. RFK Jr. comes into conflict with every credible researcher, scientist, or doctor because he lives in his own unhinged world of anti-vaccine disinformation. Our current trajectory is not tenable. We need serious people working at CDC and across HHS. We cannot let RFK Jr. burn what's left of the CDC and our other critical health agencies to the ground. He must be fired. I hope my Republican colleagues who have come to regret their vote to confirm RFK Jr. will join me in calling for his immediate termination from office." That was a statement from Democratic U.S. Senator Patty Murray of Washington. Murray published the statement on her website yesterday afternoon.
Federal cancer research that has fueled life-saving treatments in Washington state and across the country is facing a major financial hit. The Trump administration's 2026 budget proposal calls for slashing the National Cancer Institute funding by nearly $2.7 billion and cutting the National Institutes of Health by more than 40%. Dr. Daniel Lin, professor at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center at the University of Washington, says cuts are already affecting the university's research.
One of the big ways that we're feeling the cuts is it's simply become more competitive to receive these grants. In history, there are usually grants that perhaps 1 in 10 get funded, but that is down now to 4% or 3%.
Lin adds grants focusing on disparities in cancer rates and aggressiveness across racial and socioeconomic groups. In other words, anything that could be labeled DEI have been specifically targeted for cuts. Lin says he is worried about losing young scientists who would carry on the legacy of cancer research. He adds, without stable funding, the pipeline that develops future innovators is at risk.
These young investigators have tight timelines. They're on 2-, 3-, 4-year timelines to generate research to propel them to the next level. And that, to me, is one of the most threatening aspects of cuts.
The NIH's National Cancer Institute, the world's largest cancer research funder, used federal dollars to help drive a 33% overall drop in U.S. cancer deaths from 1991 to 2021. Lin says treatments today have progressed so far that many are unrecognizable even from 10 years ago.
And those have come directly from research at universities such as the University of Washington and across the country. Where would we be if we didn't have that research?
Lin says universities will be turning to other sources of funding like private foundations to fill in the holes left by the federal government. For Public News Service, I'm Isabel Charlet.
KRFP thanks its listeners and sponsors, including Tie-Dye Everything, with locally made tie-dyed items, incense, and other accessories. Tie-Dye Everything is located near 6th Street at 527 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, you can find Tie-Dye Everything at tie-dye-everything.com.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Ungadunga Brewing Company of 333 North Jackson Street in Moscow. Ungadunga features live music, special events, fine food, and craft beers. At HungaDungaBrewing.com, and on Facebook and Instagram.
Bro, did you know that Macklemore is an executive producer?
He is now.
Inside America's Student Uprising, the encampments, free screenings at the Kenworthy, 7 p.m. this Saturday, August 30th.
There is a movement to radicalize young people.
Can you believe they are chanting about the Infantata in New York City?
I really believe they are brainwashed.
Everyone is welcome.
There was a very concerted effort by the media to portray things a certain way and refuse to discuss Gaza.
Bring your questions.
Colombia is materially invested in the genocide in Gaza.
Join Police for Palestine and Police Democratic Socialists of America for a free screening at the Kenworthy Theater.
The Encampments. Inside America's Student Uprising.
Followed by a live speaker and Q&A session with Othman Hamdan, a.k.a. the imprisoned blogger.
Othman Hamdan.
The university would say, like, oh, you're overestimating your power. I remember, like, telling them there are 60 universities setting up encampments across the United States.
We got Yale holding it down right now online.
Saturday at 7 p.m.
What you willing to give? What if you were in Gaza? What if those were your kids?
You're tuned to the KRFP Evening Report. Federal law enforcement disappeared two firefighters who were actively working on the Bear Gulch fire in the rainforest on the Olympic Peninsula yesterday. A spokesperson for the incident management team leading the firefighting response said the team was aware of a Border Patrol operation on the fire and referred reporters to the Border Patrol station in Port Angeles. It's unclear why the enforcement team took away the two firefighters. People who were apparently federal agents demanded identification from members of two private contractor crews for more than 3 hours when the crews were on duty. The crews were deployed to fight Washington's largest active fire and were among the 400 people who are working on the wildfire. As of yesterday, the Department of Homeland Security, the Border Patrol, Immigration and Customs Enforcement had not responded to requests from the Seattle Times for comment about the situation. The Seattle Times reports federal immigration agents typically do not make arrests during firefighting, especially in remote areas. According to two firefighters on one of the crews, fire managers sent the contract crews to the northeast side of Lake Cushman to cut wood for the local community yesterday. While the firefighting crews waited for their division supervisor to arrive, people who said they were federal law enforcement showed up around 9:30 a.m. and directed the crews to line up to verify their identification. One firefighter reported the crews were told not to take video of the confrontation. One firefighter said, "You risk your life out here to save the community, and this is how they treat us." Firefighters from the scene did share images from the FaceTime app showing a U.S. Customs and Border Protection vehicle parked nearby. Other images showed officers wearing vests marked police arresting a firefighter, while another firefighter appears to be detained. Firefighters said the agents did not let the disappeared firefighters say goodbye to their fellow workers before they were taken away. The Bear Gulch fire has burned nearly 9,000 acres and was 13% contained as of Wednesday morning. It is burning in the Olympic National Park and the Olympic National Forest. Under President Joe Biden's administration, federal policy stated that without exigent circumstances, immigration agents would not conduct their operations at natural disaster or emergency sites. It's unclear whether that policy currently remains in place. Under the Trump administration, federal officials have exercised aggressive immigration enforcement actions. Washington Lands Commissioner Dave Upthegrove has announced a plan to conserve and set aside 77,000 acres of older state-owned forests. According to the Department of Natural Resources, the older forests are structurally complex, which conservationists call legacy forests. Conservationists say the older forests are not quite old enough to qualify for old growth protections, but are biologically diverse and have a natural resistance to wildfires. According to the Washington State Standard, Up the Grove made the announcement Tuesday at the High Point Trailhead on Tiger Mountain. Commissioner Up the Grove said the plan will permit logging companies to harvest trees on about 24 timber sales on another 29,000 acres of Forest Service ground. Up the Grove said the plan was, quote, the biggest step forward in forest conservation in a generation. Doing this will allow us to continue to nurture and steward these forests, but in innovative and diverse ways that do more for climate, more for habitat, and more for the communities we serve. Timber industry and conservation groups expressed disappointment in the commissioner's plan. Legacy Forest Defense Coalition spokesperson Joshua Wright said this is essentially a continuation of the status quo under the guise of a conservation victory. The majority of forests that we were most concerned about are going to be logged by this plan, and that is nothing short of devastating. Logging industry advocates are also opposed to the plan, which they say takes too much land out of consideration for timber sales. Regional Trade Organization President for the American Forest Resource Council, Travis Joseph, said removing these acres from sustainable harvest will mean less revenue for schools, fire districts, hospitals, and libraries that depend on trust land funds, and fewer family wage jobs in Washington's forest sector. The Department of Natural Resources says they will create strategies to generate revenue from the 29,000 acres. The agency says those parcels are adequate to fulfill department financial commitments to local governments for the next 10 years. Meanwhile, the department says they are developing methods to generate revenue from 77,000 acres set aside for conservation, including the sale of credits in carbon markets. Up the Grove said his order gives room for the Natural Resources Department to consider aspects of forest management besides maximum revenues. He said it's an acknowledgement that there's more ways to manage DNR lands other than timber harvests. Washington Conservation Action CEO Alyssa Macy said, with climate change upon us, we need a new vision for forestry, one that takes a more holistic view. We must recognize the economic value of timber, but also of the clean air, the clean water, wildlife habitat, carbon storage, and cultural value of the forest lands for which our state is famous. The search for fugitive Travis Decker has resulted in a U.S. Forest Service order to close Leavenworth, Washington area campgrounds and trails so the FBI can continue to investigate in the area without recreationists or others. Law enforcement has been searching for Decker in connection with the asphyxiation deaths of Decker's three children, Evelyn, Olivia, and Peyton Decker. Police found the bodies at the Rock Island campground near Leavenworth more than 2 months ago. According to the Seattle Times, Friday's U.S. Forest Service order said the closure is intended to permit the Federal Bureau of Investigation to conduct an ongoing investigation. The order closes the Jack Pine, Icicle Gorge, Icicle Gorge Upper Loop, and Icicle Gorge Upper Loop Tie trailheads, the Rock Island, Black Pine, Horse, and Chatter Creek campgrounds, and several forest roads in the area. The FBI issued a news release from the agency's Seattle office written by Special Agent W. Mike Harrington. Harrington wrote, he, quote, wants to assure our communities in the Leavenworth and Wenatchee areas, as well as Chelan County and all of Washington State, that the Travis Decker case is a priority for our field office and the FBI. Harrington said in the release, the FBI has assigned close to 100 personnel and specialty SWAT electronics techs to the search. The Bureau has called for its Critical Incident Response Group and Laboratory Division to aid in quote, cases involving the abduction or mysterious disappearance of children, crisis management, hostage negotiations, criminal investigative analysis, and special weapons and tactics. Decker has been missing since June following his disappearance from the Rock Island campground where he allegedly murdered his three daughters around Memorial Day. Decker is the lone suspect in the case. The Washington State Crime Lab confirmed DNA police found at the scene matched Decker's. In the release, FBI agent Harrington said, "We cannot guarantee the search will uncover any new information, but we are committed to bringing every available FBI resource that will advance this case for as long as it takes. We will share any updates we have on the search as soon as we are able." The Chelan County Sheriff's Office is the lead agency in the investigation. Various agencies are assisting in the search, including the U.S. Marshals Service, Port of Seattle Police Department, Yakima Police Department, the U.S. Forest Service's Wenatchee River District, U.S. Army Criminal Investigation Division, and Central Washington University's Anthropology Department. A child is dead and a St. Mary's man was injured in a vehicle fire Sunday afternoon near St. Mary's. An Idaho State Police news release said around 1:30 p.m. Sunday, state troopers arrived at a vehicle fire on Reeds Creek Road east of St. Mary's. The accident closed the road for about 4 hours. According to the spokesman review, police say an air ambulance took the man and a second passenger to an area hospital with serious injuries. A third passenger was unhurt in the incident. Emergency responders declared the child dead at the scene. A police investigation into the cause of the fire is underway. Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow Pullman area. Mostly clear tonight, low 54, patchy fog between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. Sunny tomorrow, high 87, patchy fog before 8 a.m. Mostly clear Friday night and Saturday, low 55, high 90. Partly cloudy Saturday night, low 59. Sunny, high 93 Sunday. Partly cloudy, low 58 Sunday night. And sunny on Labor Day, high 95. Mostly clear Monday night and Tuesday, low 59, high 97. Currently 79 degrees. Air quality throughout the region is moderate at this hour. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There is a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Brenda Cox also assisted. Have a pleasant evening.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by Giant Palouse Earthwork, providing DIY music booking in Moscow and Pullman, focusing on extreme metal, punk, hardcore, and the avant-garde. Giant Palouse Earthwork is available on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by
Rembrandt Tree Care, family owned and operated since 1977. A conscientious approach to urban forestry with year-round tree service on the Palouse and surrounding areas. You can reach Rembrandt Tree Care at 509-330-0699.
KRFP thanks all of its donors and underwriters for helping make this programming possible.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Last spring, in the Nebraska prairie, workers carrying drip torches carefully burned a narrow strip of prairie grass. They were creating the perimeter for a prescribed burn, a planned fire that removes dry vegetation and reduces the risk of severe wildfire. But this was not your typical burn crew. The team was composed almost entirely of women.
In fire as a whole, we tend to see that women make up somewhere around 10% of the workforce. You know, many women who work in fire are the only woman on their entire crew. There's a lot of siloing and isolation.
Lainia Quinn Davidson directs the Women in Fire Training Exchange Program. It runs 2-week-long training events for women from various backgrounds, from professional firefighters to those who have never worked with fire. She says that as climate change increases the risk of devastating wildfires, there's a growing need for a wide range of people who understand and are trained in techniques like prescribed burning.
You want different kinds of people thinking about the problems, and you want different kinds of leadership. You want people to feel comfortable in the work so that they can operate at their best.
So she says the program is helping expand and strengthen that workforce. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
What we are living through that is so bewildering right now is a massive experiment in propaganda.
Moscow is his plaything. It's where he tests ideas to see if they work on a national scale.
I'm a poor pilgrim of sorrow, thrown into this wide world alone. No hope ever for tomorrow. I decided to make heaven my home.
Sons of Patriarchy Season 2 is now on the air.
I don't know where to run. I decided to try to make it my home.
The theological, political, and cultural trajectory of Doug Wilson, the CREC, Christian nationalism, patriarchalism, theonomy, reconstruction, authority and submission, alpha males, beta males, trad wives, the whole kit and caboodle. Intentional, designed, and strategic to its very core.
The best investigative reporting about the truth about Moscow, Idaho, ever.
The Me Too and Church Too movements merge here. Racism is embraced, outsiders are feared, and voting rights for women and minorities are up for re-examination.
Sons of Patriarchy is in audio form and comes to you via podcast or FM radio. Sons of Patriarchy every Saturday at 2 p.m.